Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Well, even though Christmas decorations have been on display in the stores for 3 months, liturgically, we are only on day 6 of the 12 days of Christmas. And I don't want this holiday spirit to end. So over the weekend, I watched one of my favorite Christmas movies called The Bishop's Wife. Do you guys know that? Okay, yeah. Produced in 1947, it's the story of how easily we can all get involved with good things that take us away from what really is important. And so for those that don't know, it's the movie is about an Episcopal bishop in New York City who has lost his focus and his happiness, and he's having problems trying to balance family and the normal challenges of his job and the added pressure of building a cathedral. And so desperate to succeed, he prays for help and guidance. And God answers his prayer, as God usually does, in an unexpected way. So God sends an angel to help the bishop to save him and those closest around him from their spiritual doubt and to restore a love for life. Now the angel Dudley, played by Cary Grant, mind you, is one handsome angel. He's very suave and debonair, and he charms and brings happiness to everyone he interacts with and has a way of making everyone feel important, except, of course, for the bishop, who finds Dudley annoying and distracting. Dudley demonstrates what God is like. He's attentive and he's kind, and Dudley brings redemption in one form or another to everyone he encounters. And the bishop's faith and love is reignited in his heart, and all is well again in his life and with his wife, and the cathedral build begins. But in between, there's a whole bunch of funny antics with Dudley the angel and really funny 1947 computer-generated special effects, but they're not computer-generated. It's stop action. It's worth seeing for that. The movie ends with the bishop preaching on Christmas Eve. And of course, it's not the sermon that the bishop wrote. It's the one Dudley the angel rewrote. And it's short and simple, and I'm going to read it to you right now. So this is, imagine Ray's voice reading this to you, a proper British gentleman's voice. Tonight, I want to tell you the story of an empty stocking. Once upon a midnight clear, there was a child's cry and a blazing star hung over a stable, and wise men came with gifts. We haven't forgotten that night over the centuries. We celebrate it with stars on Christmas trees and with the sounds of bells and with gifts, especially with gifts. You give me a book and I give you a tie. Aunt Martha has always wanted an orange squeezer. If only we could just give an orange squeezer. And Uncle Henry can do with a new pipe. For we forget nobody, adult or child. All the stockings are filled, all that is, except one. And we have even forgotten to hang it up. The stocking for the child born in a manger. It's his birthday we're celebrating. Don't let us ever forget that. And then he ends the sermon with this beautiful expression of the movie's theme and the meaning of Christmas. And he goes on to say, let us ask ourselves what Jesus would wish for most. And then let's each of us put in his share, loving kindness, warm hearts, and a stretched out hand of tolerance, all the shining gifts that make peace on earth. So today we are in the 6th day of Christmas, and the season is going by fast, but there's still some time left. And like the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, there is still time for us to give some extravagant gifts. Now, maybe not the 12 drummers drumming or the 11 pipers piping, because that would be noisy. And maybe not the 10 lords a-leaping or the 9 ladies dancing. Or maybe. Definitely not the 8 maids a-milking and the 7 swans a-swimming or the 6 geese a-laying, because that sounds like a lot of work and would require we all move to a farm. Now, the 5 golden rings might be nice, or 5 silver rings. 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, and 2 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. Again, it sounds lovely, but I'm back at too noisy and too much cleanup. So I am thinking that that isn't the right list for us. Maybe our extravagant gifts the last few days of Christmas can be gift-giving that's more from our hearts. How about changing our mind about someone we've dismissed or we don't like? Maybe it could be forgiving someone that has hurt us, or asking for understanding and forgiveness for ourselves for something that we did and weren't aware of, or we did and we knew exactly what we were doing. Maybe our gift can be reaching out to someone we've lost contact with and call or write a letter. Maybe our extravagant gift this last few days of Christmas could be the gift of laughter and having fun with someone, or maybe surprising someone with our time. Well, to get into the extravagant gift giving, we might need to start with ourselves and give ourselves the gift of accepting God's forgiveness and taking in God's love and being filled with that joy. You know, we can keep the Spirit of God breaking into our world, of God incarnate, of God demonstrating his great love for us by encountering with everyone like Dudley would. We can see the person right in front of us, attend to them, and share some of God's love. As the bishop preached, loving kindness, a warm heart, a stretched out hand. We too can reach out like Jesus in acceptance and inclusion and forgiveness and love. We can do our part to share and to bring God's presence and God's peace to this world. So I encourage all of us to be Dudley for someone. Notice people, pay attention, be kind, be God's presence, God's messenger of love. Merry Christmas. Amen.